So bear with me. I'm not used to wearing this. Welcome, church. We're spending this month talking about engagement. But before I start my part, I ask if you'll bow with me in a moment of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, I ask that you be with us now. You know how I've wept, rejoiced, was mesmerized, found marvelous things in your word as I prepared for this morning. I ask that you give me the adequate words that I need and help them to have the adequate hearing that is needed. But most of all, Father, I pray that this message uplifts you and draws us closer to you, Father. For you are the reason any of us have hope or assurance of a future. We thank you for your love. But most of all, we thank you for the gift that you have given us, which is your Son, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. It's our time. We sometimes think about all the great things that happened in the past when it comes to evangelism of the church. We think all the way back to the Restoration Movement as it started here in the United States with the Campbells as they brought the church here to this country from England and from Ireland and Scotland. We think the great expansion as they moved westward and brought millions to Christ in the church. And we rejoice in these great adventures that these gentlemen have. Barton Stone, Elias Smith, Benjamin Franklin. These are just a few names. Hopefully you know who they are. I really pray that you do. If you don't, talk to me. We can have a great discussion. When we talk about engagement month, engaging the world for Jesus Christ, and it makes me stop, pause, and wonder. How do we use the word engagement, to engage? It can be used in a negative context, to engage a military term, to go toe-to-toe, nose-to-nose, to punch it out, to fight it out, last man standing. And sometimes some people see evangelism just as that. But that's not how I want to use engage today. I want to use the term engage is communicate. Because that's what we've got to do is communicate, but communicate the love of Jesus Christ, so important. Because this is the question I want to ask. How can we engage the world if we can't engage the church? I talked a little bit about that in Sunday school today, about engaging in the church. You know, it's so important that we can communicate about Jesus Christ, because you can see according to Acts 2:42 through 47, it's so important because it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to worship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles. They devoted themselves to fellowship. Now, you say, what is fellowship? I used a couple other scriptures, if you don't mind, to help us understand. I cheat. See, I have my scriptures on computer at home, and I have over 21 different translations of scripture. So when I read scripture, a lot of times I do not go to a commentary, even though I have a beautiful set that I bought over the years. I go to the scriptures. And if I don't understand one translation, I'll go to another translation and another translation. And it doesn't take long before I get the picture of what's being said. You see there in King James, it says, they continued steadfastly. The New American Standard says, they were continually devoting themselves. And I love the message. It's a paraphrase. It's done by Eugene Peterson. It says, they committed themselves to the teachings of the apostles. But it says they were committed. They were dedicated. They were going on. And I wonder, when it comes to fellowship, are we dedicated to fellowship? Do we do that in the church today? Or have we lost the concept of true fellowship? We get together for carrying meals, potlucks. Sometimes we even invite one another out to a meal. Amen? That's fun. I mean, what better to talk is when you got something in your mouth and you're chewing and you're trying to communicate, right? We do that so great. But I wonder, do we truly communicate when we have our fellowship? Do we communicate the purpose of what the church is all about? Do we talk to each other? Do we share with one another what Jesus Christ is doing in our lives or in the lives of our families? Do we share praises in our time of prayer request? Now, prayer is very important, but do we share the praises that are going on in our lives? The great things that Jesus Christ is doing for us. I shared this morning about one of the members here after one of the sermons I did. We're having a carry-in meal across this parking lot. After the message, he came over, sat down across from me, said, now I heard part of your message, but I want to hear your story. Remember that, Bob? Bob's looking at me. Yeah, when you came over and we talked for over an hour about how Jesus Christ has affected my life and made a difference in my life and what the things were that brought me to Jesus Christ. Do you remember what brought you to Jesus Christ? Do you remember the person who might have shared with you? I'm not talking about maybe the not necessarily the one who immersed you into Christ, but the one who shared something that got you thinking about Jesus Christ. And what did he say or she say to you that brought you to Christ? When we fellowship, it's great to hear what God's doing. I don't know about you, but I'm a man of lots of encouragement. In other words, I need lots of encouragement. I really do. And I get the most encouragement when I sit down with somebody and they start telling me what God's doing in their life, what Jesus Christ is doing in their life. Wow. Because sometimes, I don't know if you do, but sometimes I feel alone. I'm not talking about leaving my wife out, but I feel alone. Like I'm in this battle all by myself. God, I know you're up there, but I see you in my life, but what's going on with the rest of the world? Because I don't want to see the world to go to hell. I don't. I don't hate anyone enough that I could wish that on them. And I start getting worried, and sometimes tears will start to flow. Lord, what can I do? Who am I? I'm just one person. And then I'll have fellowship with somebody and I'll say, do you know what Jesus did today? We were over my somebody's house and we were talking and they asked a question about the Bible. Do you get excited when someone asks you a question about the Bible? I do. And then they go on how they shared while they were fellowshipping together about Scripture, about God, about His love for each and every one of us. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Being able to share the love that God has shown us and that He has available for any and every other person in this world because He loves them so much. As they devoted themselves not only to fellowship, but to breaking of bread and prayer. Now, prayer's really important. It's so important. We had probably half the class this morning talking about prayer and the effect of it, because I shared the three most important things that we have to do to prepare for evangelism. Who remembers those three things? Sue? Right. You say, no, that's one thing. No, that's three things. Pray, pray, pray. That means continually pray. In all things, prayer. How often do we pray? Thank you, Lord, for this food we're about to eat. Thank you, Lord, that I didn't run off the road and get in an accident. Do we thank God for us opening our eyes in the morning? Do we thank God for a glorious day before we go to sleep? Do we pray and thank God for blue sky, the sun, temperatures above 32? Do we thank God for the beautiful snow that covers this dirty earth and covers the trees and brings some light and some beauty and some glory to it? Do we pray and thank God? Do we pray and thank God for our families? Do we pray and ask God to watch over our families? Do we pray and thank God for being God? Can you see how important prayer is? There's nothing that we can't talk to God about in prayer. But what's most important in prayer is when the church decides it wants to do something, reach out to engage, to communicate with the world. Wouldn't it be great that if you reached out and you knew somebody was praying for you while you were doing it, not only for you, but were praying for the person you were going to see? Wouldn't it be great? I think that's a fantastic thing. It would be great. It just so happens that I think it's such a great idea that I got a list here. And that list is for prayer warriors. Yes, prayer warriors. In other words, people who are going to go to the Lord on behalf of those who are going out and sharing Christ with other individuals. Pray for those who they are going to visit, to pray for the leadership of the church, to keep an outward focus, not an inward focus. You see, that's what I'm going to do. And before I go any further, I'm going to ask for another volunteer to sign up who wants to be a prayer warrior, who's willing to pray for those individuals. Don't tell me you're too old. You're never too old to pray. Don't tell me you're too young, because you're never too young to pray. And don't tell me you're too busy to pray, because you can pray doing anything. So who'd like to sign up to be on the list? Because you'll be called when somebody's going to go out, and you'll be given names of who you're going to pray for. You'll pray before, during, and after. And the rest of your time, you pray for the leadership and you pray for the church. How about praying for the church, every single member, one at a time? And I know what's going through your head right now, but I don't know everybody. Now you know the importance of why they were devoted into fellowship, don't you? Because how are you going to get to know somebody if you don't spend time with them? It wasn't long ago, somebody invited my beautiful wife, Lucy, and I out to lunch on their birthday. And they shared their birthday with us and their family. I probably got to know more information about their family in about 45 minutes than I have in probably 3 years of knowing this individual. Doesn't that say a lot of what you can do when you can talk and learn? Because, beloved, if we're going to be devoted to fellowship and to prayer, we need to spend the time getting to know one another. Because, after all, how are we going to know what we need? The encouragement we might need to be able to reach out, to share with one another. You see, we look at Scripture and the church has a real problem. You know what the problem is with the church? When the church wants to grow, do you know what they do? Bring somebody from the outside into the church to teach the church how to make it grow. You say, Bob, that's not true. I've been in ministry well over 30 years, well over 35 years. Almost every congregation I ever went to, and I was going to try out to be their preacher. You know what one of the statements that they said? We need somebody to grow the church. We need somebody to grow the church. So we're going to bring in somebody else to grow the church. I don't know about you, but do you see a problem with that? What does Scripture tell us in Matthew 28? It tells us individually, to go make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I have commanded you. And he says, and I will be with you always to the end of the age. We want to claim that he's going to be with us always, but we don't want to do what he tells us to do. It's really funny. I was talking to a friend of mine, Mike Harbor, down in Ohio. And Mike's pretty close to my age. Another old duffer. And he says, you know, Bob, our church is growing pretty good. I said, well, what are you guys doing? He says, well, we're going out and we're meeting people. and cheering people. I said, well, Mike, just 2 years ago you said you were on a decline. He says, yeah, we had a problem. I said, what was your problem, Mike? He said, we went from looking outside to looking inside. We wanted to find out what we could do to take care of ourselves. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, we wanted to come up with a lot of neat programs to take care of the members that were already here. And I said, that didn't work for you? And he says, no. Because we were so busy looking at ourselves, we forgot to look outward for those that were looking for Jesus Christ. And I remembered a little story that I had heard about a man who was in a shipwreck. And he washed up on shore. You see, it was a stormy night, and he ran aground, and his boat sank. Barely survived the storm, and some people from a nearby village found him and drug him in. And he says, I didn't know there was any rocks out there. And he said, oh yeah, there's a lot of rocks out there. We get a lot of shipwrecks. And he says, you know, we need to build a lighthouse to warn people of the rocks so they can stay away from those rocks. That's a good idea, they said. So they put up a lighthouse. And the shipwrecks dwindled. And another village heard what they had done and said, can you come over and teach us how to build a lighthouse? Sure. And he went over to the village and he taught them how to build a lighthouse. And they said, well, while you're here, could you maybe teach us how to rescue those that are shipwrecked? You know, how to man boats and go out and get them and bring them in so we're okay. And he says, yeah, I can do that. I can teach you. So he taught them, and he left and went back to his village, and his village was doing good, and they decided to make the lighthouse taller and bigger to reach further. 2 years later, he went over to the village and says, where's your lighthouse? We didn't build one. Well, where's your boats to go out and rescue? Well, we didn't do that. Well, what did you do? Well, what you taught us was so great, we took it to the other villages and taught them how to do it. And what are they doing, he said. He said, well, they're taking what they've learned and they're telling all the other villages what they're doing. He says, has anybody actually built a lighthouse? And they said, well, why? They forgot the whole purpose of what they wanted in the first, to save souls from drowning, to build a lighthouse. They got so involved that they were bringing everybody in, telling them what to do, and nobody was doing anything because they were excited about what they were learning. You see, learning's okay. Doing's the important thing. I shared something this morning that I think might have shaken up some of those in class. And what's important is, do you know, we are not called to convert people. We're not called to convert anybody. We're called to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with those people. Because why? What does it say? And James is praising God, enjoying favor. Excuse me, but it's Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added daily to those being saved. The Lord does the adding. The Lord does the saving. We do the sharing. And you know, if they do reject what you share, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Jesus Christ. So don't take it personal, because it's not personal. But you see, we should be doing our part, not expecting somebody else to do it for us. Because if we're doing our part, Jesus is going to be doing his part. You know, John chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000. I love that chapter. I mean, I could probably preach about a year on just that one chapter. I love what it starts out. Jesus knew what he was going to do. You ever read that part and pay attention to it? Jesus knew what he was going to do. Then he asked him, hey, how are we going to feed these people? Have you ever thought about that? We're supposed to evangelize the world. Jesus knows what he's going to do. What are you going to do? What's your part in all this? We could be like Philip. Lord, 6 months' wages isn't going to be enough. We don't have enough money to do that. We can't evangelize the world. I mean, geez, you know how big that is, God? Or be like Andrew. Lord, I went out looking, and I found somebody who's got a little bit of food, so maybe that little bit of food, no, that ain't going to do any good. But I did my part, Lord. I went looking, and I loved the little boy. What he had, he gave. Here, Jesus, here's my bread, and here's my fish. And it doesn't even mention his name. I'm sorry if I'd have wrote the book. And Bob, the little boy, said, here's my fish and here's my bread. I would. I'm sorry. I'd have to have my name in there. But it's not there. It just said there was somebody there and he gave what he had. Isn't that what Jesus has called us to do? To take what we have and give it to him. And let him bless it. Let him break it. Let him multiply it. But we're to do our part. Because did Jesus pass out the bread and the fish, or did he have the disciples do it? You see, he was going to feed them. He knew what he was going to do, but he expected his disciples to do their part. Because if they wouldn't have done their part, we wouldn't have had the feeding of the 5,000. Think about that. It's the same thing with reaching the world. Jesus told us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He told us to do it. He don't have a plan B. Well, since you're not going to do it, I think I'll send my angels. He's left it to us. You say, Bob, the cost is too great because we can't reach the world. Beloved, let me share something with you you may not have ever thought about. Or maybe you did and you just blew it off. You want to change the world? Do you want to know how to do it? I can tell you how to do it. And it's biblical. Gee, imagine that. You go and make disciples, one at a time. And every disciple you make, they make a disciple. And they make a disciple. And they make a disciple. And you make a disciple, and another disciple, and another disciple. And how long do you think till you change the world for Christ? One at a time. Everybody wants to meet the needs of the community. Amen? We need to meet the needs of the community. Wrong. We don't need to meet the needs of the community. We need to meet the needs of the people in the community, and they will meet the needs of the community. You see, we get so focused on the wrong things. God says, focus on me, not on things. Seek him first. And he says, all these things will be added to you. We want to engage the world. Let's start by engaging ourselves. Because if we truly believe that is what God wants us to do, these are a few things that we need to think about. Are we going to fellowship and encourage one another? Are we going to cover everything in prayer? Are we going to prepare before God starts giving the increase? You say, prepare, yeah. How about classes for adults? classes for teens, classes for kids. You say, but Bob, we don't have that. That's not what I said, was it? I said, prepare, get everything ready. So when God gives the increase, we're ready for that increase. Because, beloved, we only have one time to make a first impression on people. And we may never get another chance. I'll share an example from evangelism. I was up in Kalkaska, Michigan, and I went out calling for a preacher out of Rapid City, Michigan. And I was trying to help him evangelize. He was really getting things moving. He said, I need you to go see this couple. I said, okay, I'll do it. I was excited. My partner and I, we went out and got up, and I knocked on a door, and a man came to the door. And he said, hello. I said, I'm Bob Soulier. I said, I happen to be a member of the Kalkaska Church, but I'm here for the Rapid City Church. And he spit out a name of the preacher that was there. And I said, yeah. He ordered me off his porch. And I said, well, but I'm here to try. And he ordered me off his property. I'm going, what's this? So I went back and I asked the preacher, what's going on here? He says, oh, yeah, well, we had a big argument. And he deserved it. And this is supposed to be bad. We're supposed to be going out and sharing the good news, the love of Jesus Christ, and getting fights with people. And then we send somebody else who's now going to be forever associated with that argument. You see, if we're going to evangelize, we're going to have to do it with love, compassion, understanding. Share what's needed. I shared with Sunday school. When you're asked a question, answer the question. Don't shortchange the question and don't add a lot of stuff to the question. In other words, you go into a restaurant and you want a glass of milk and the waiter brings you a steak and mashed potatoes and gravy and corn and everything else. Is that what you wanted? No, you're not going to eat it and you're not going to pay for it. Evangelism is the same way. If somebody asks you something about Jesus, answer the question. Somebody asks you a question about the Scripture, answer the question. You don't need any more. Give them the answer, and that may be what they need to make a decision to ask more questions. I can go on for a lot longer. I apologize. This is something I really love, is sharing with people. But the importance is simple. Let's start the fellowship. Let's talk about what Jesus Christ is doing with the church, doing with our lives. Let's cover it in prayer. Let's dig into this so we can be prepared for what God has in store for us. And we'll be ready when we have opportunity to share, when we have opportunity to acknowledge. Because nowhere in Scripture does it say, invite someone to church. I can raise my hand because I've done that. It's just a habit that we've gotten into. You know why we can't invite people to church? Because we are the church. Hi, you want to come to me? Here I am. I'm the church. I'm sorry. That's not what he wants. He wants us to invite people to come to Christ. Let them know what they're missing in life. Because there's joy. And then someday when you show up, this is what's going to be on the door. The church has left the building. We went fishing. We're going to be fisher of men. Would that blow your mind? You come and you saw that and Bill had it hanging up on the door. The church has left the building. Or would you walk and say, how can the church leave the building? The church is the building. part of fellowship. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. Not because someone told us, because we know it's here. Because you use the Word of God, as I shared at Sunday school, and you can never lose an argument. They may not accept it, but you didn't lose the argument. And there shouldn't be an argument. Just tell them. Don't disagree. Encourage. Build up. Love. Acknowledge who God is in your life. Church, we need to engage. We need to engage, church. The church needs to engage. Because if we can engage here, can you imagine what's going to happen in the world? There will not be one or two people going out sharing the gospel. There'll be 40 and 50 people going out and sharing the gospel. We've talked about moving out of here in 2 years. Wouldn't it be a shame if we were doing what God told us to do, and in a year from now, we would have to build a building because we couldn't fit everybody in here in two or three services, because we would have, because everybody's busy doing what God wants us to do, and He increases our number by that amount? You can say, Bob, that can never happen. How many of you remember the day of Pentecost? 3,000 were added that day. How about a little later when they were sharing in through Jerusalem and other, and it was their number grew to 5,000. Oh, but Bob, that was back at the beginning of the church. No. That was back at the church being the church. And I'm sorry, that's the difference from then and today. They were the church. A lot of us have forgot what the church is all about. Let's engage. Go back. There might be somebody here today who's outside of Christ. They're not even sure what I'm talking about, engaging the church. What I'm talking about is engaging one another to talk about Jesus Christ and how He died for each and every one of us. He was hung on a cross to pay for our sins. He was put in a tomb, and on the third day He arose. To show that He has power of life over death, and He died for you, for me, for all of us. That we do not have to see death and decay. We can see eternity with Him in heaven because He loves us that much. He doesn't want your things, He wants you. It's going to sound funny because if He's got you, He's got your things. He wants you. He wants a personal relationship with you because He loves you. He cares about you. You are that important for you that He did die for you. And He says, all you have to do is accept me and what I want you to do. Accept me as who I am. He is the Son of God, the Creator. He is the Savior, the one who paid the price. And He says, if you'll accept that and you'll repent, what does repent mean, Bob? That means to turn away from a life without Christ to a life with Christ. And I know it means more, but that's as simple as I can make it. And tell everybody who He is. And be baptized. Why? So you can have your sins forgiven and washed away. You say, oh, but I heard that all you had to do was believe. Well, gee, doesn't James say that devil believes and he trembles? Because if all you have to believe, then all the demons are saved. And if you read Scripture, you know that ain't right. But He tells us to have our sins washed away. He will give us the seal, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that'll intercede for us to talk to His Father when we can't. And you say, okay, I can do that, but no, that's not the end of it. That's just the beginning of it. Because he wants us to walk in obedience to his teaching, and to his words, following him. If we do that, what do we have? A guaranteed eternal life with him. He is faithful and just to forgive. Are you willing to accept him on his terms? You say, Bob, there's got to be more to it than that. That's it. As I showed, and the Lord adds daily to those being saved. It's a relationship with him. What do you say? Because our invitation hymn is going to be a new song you probably don't know unless you listen to the Christian radio station. Come as you are. And that's what he wants us to do. Come as we are.